Last time on Oz Hour.
Okay, last time on Oz Hour, we are at this place and the boy's crying and we learn about this love romance drama of this little boy named Pon and this princess named Gloria, that they are in love with each other, but they can't love each other because of social standards. Anyway, Trot, Captain Bill, and Button Bright are like, okay, cool, that's whatever. Like, we're here to see King Cruel, so we'll go talk to him and, like, be like, you know, do all that and stuff. And so they go and, also they learn that Pon is actually an heir to the throne. So he actually is a prince and he could be in love with this girl, or he is allowed to be in love with this girl. But King Cruel killed his father or threw him down a well or something. And so then they're like, okay, we'll go talk to him. And so they go to King Cruel. Captain Bill's like really fucking weird the whole time. And they're like really spooked by him because he's like, I don't know, he's just doing weird stuff. And they're like, that's a wizard. And they're scared of him. And then there's Oogaboo. No, that's not right. That guy, he's weird and creepy. And he's like, I'm the one that's supposed to marry Gloria, not the pawn. And so he's doing that. They're talking. There's so much stuff that happens. I can't even. Oogaboo, he is like, okay, well, I want her to love me, so I want to get this witch who will make her freeze her heart to love me. And King Cruel. Oh my God. King Cruel is like, okay, yeah, I'm down, but you have to pay for it. And he's like, okay, fine, whatever. And so then they're like, cool, that's what we're going to go do. And when they go find Gloria, there she is having a good old time with her man Pon. And they're like, fuck this guy. And they chase him off, or they beat him up, or something happens. And then they throw Gloria into a dungeon or whatever. And then Trot's like, oh no, that's not cool, I'm gonna go comfort her. And while that's happening, oh, I feel like I'm skipping so much, but what's his face, Captain Bill, they turn him into a grasshopper. And that's what happens. And then he's gone. And then Trot's looking for everyone and is like, what's going on? Where is everyone? We got to get out of here. And then he finds Button Bright. They go and they find Pon. And now they're all together. And that's it.
Hi there. Welcome to episode 56 of Oz Hour, the only place where you can hear everything you never knew about the wonderful and strange land of Oz.
That's right. With the help of some alcohol, we will be discussing each of the 14 books in L. Frank Baum's Wizard of Oz series.
Today, we will be continuing with Book 9, The Scarecrow of Oz, covering chapters 13 through 15.
We're your hosts, Blake Stone
and Wyatt Swingham.
And joining us, as always, is our resident Oz initiate, Hannah Aguirre.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-zay.
We have gone full circle because you've used that before.
Dang it.
You've been doing a lot of musical, like, intros recently,
well,
which isn't a bad
thing. I'm trying to practice my voice.
You got to do, in honor of Wicked, you got to do, like, it's me. That's what she does when she's, like, flying into the sky.
She does do that, but that's such a, like, weird.
It's me you want. It's me.
Such like a random fucking.
Oh yeah, because zippity-doo-zah. Yeah, everyone was really expecting to hear that in their ears this morning. So Hannah, other than failing at this social interaction, you also played last time on, where you recapped what happened last
time.
Okay,
that shouldn't go into my grading. Okay.
How long did that take?
2 minutes and 51 seconds.
What?
Okay, so yeah. Pretty long.
That did not feel that long.
It actually did not feel
it
that
did
long.
Not.
But I did type a lot.
It's a did. Lot that happened. A lot happened in the last section. A lot's going to happen today.
No, there was a lot.
Say.
Yeah. Good luck next week because this episode's crazy.
Yeah.
But so when we started the last episode, Cap'n Bill, Button Bright, and Trot are in Jinxland on our way to find King Cruel. Pon's father, Pon the gardener's boy, his father was King Fierce. He's at the bottom of a pond covered in stones. Another thing, Captain Bill vaguely threatens King Krule to make him think that they're important so that he lets them stay the night, but he puts their rooms really far away from each other. So he's obviously up to something. Googly Goo is the one who's weird and creepy and wants to marry Gloria.
Oogaboo is where the vegetable people live.
I knew that I wasn't saying it correct.
King Krule and Googly Goo call for the Wicked Witch Blinky to come and help them with their problem with Gloria. And while she's there, King Krule shows Blinky to Captain Bill, and believing that he's a powerful sorcerer, she turns him into a grasshopper while he sleeps. So those were the kind of important things that I just wanted to clarify before we moved forward. What do you think, Wyatt?
It's a lot. I couldn't tell you. I think okay. I blacked out in the middle of you doing it, to be honest.
Me too.
Okay. Me too. it was a fail, but I think you did pretty good.
A D?
It was a...
Minus?
F plus.
I don't know. I was like, does that say fail to you?
It was a 3 minute. It was 3 minutes.
Yeah, no, it's a bit long. It was a lot of content.
We need to create...
I don't think you remembered any names.
I feel like we need to create
Gloria,
like an actual...
Antoine.
Okay.
We need to create an actual like rubric for how we grade her on this.
Nah, it already takes too long.
Yeah. Okay. Let's stop doing it. So before we started recording, Wyatt went ahead and whipped up some cocktails. What are we drinking?
Tonight we are drinking the Frozen Heart. It is, it should be a little bitter. Oh, damn. Well, I forgot the Angostura bitters, but it'll still be bitter and sour and tart.
I don't like the name Frozen Heart.
It's kind of spooky, isn't it?
Yeah.
Shall we slurp?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, the grapefruit's a little tart.
And the Campari.
It's good.
Chapter 13, Glinda the Good and the Scarecrow of Oz.
Fucking finally.
So we open up with like an aerial shot of Oz. It's the Emerald City, whoom, gone. We're heading south. Beautiful palace nestled in the
Who
hills
lives
in the
south?
Country. Who do you think it is?
Glinda!
Like what people?
Oh. The Gilligan. Am I Winky?
Who are the Winkies?
Oh, no, not the Winkies.
Yeah, okay, so we know where they are.
Who are the other people?
We've got...
Not the Gilligans. Not
the Munchkins.
The Munchkins. Who? I always forget this
Think
one.
Think four.
Thor?
Four.
Four. Four. Four score.
I'm so sorry. That did not help. That did not help. So in the south of Oz is the Quadling country.
I always forget the Quadlings. I'm sorry, guys.
That's Glinda's people.
I know. But what have they done?
Nothing other than have Glinda.
Yeah.
Exactly. Quadlings, 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 Quadlings.
She just committed that to memory live on air. So at the southernmost point of Quadling Country is Glinda the Good's palace.
And this is where we get biography time. We're told that Glinda is the royal sorceress. She uses her magic only to help the people of Oz. Everyone loves her. And no one knows her age. She's beautiful and lively, which is kind of true. I feel like we've been told that before, that she's like an unknown age, but she's beautiful.
She's perfect. She's beautiful. She looks like Linda Evangelista.
Yeah. And she doesn't wear jewels because her beauty would shame them, which is a high compliment for, I guess, offering balm to
and
give her.
And a massive insult to everyone who lives in the Emerald City and takes great pride in their city.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You're right.
But yeah, we also learn about, you know, speaking of things we already know about her, we learned about her great Book of Records. She uses the book to help any Ozian that's in distress at any given time, but she's always interested in what takes place in the unprotected outside world as well.
Yeah. She likes the gossip. She's
yeah,
like, I
exactly.
can't help everybody, but I like to know.
So tonight, Glinda is just sitting in her library, and her maids are all around her doing their crafts. And it's important to note that her maids are made up of, like, I think it's 50 women from all the different parts of Oz. Yeah. And to be one of her attendants is a high honor.
Yeah. Ooh. So her people hope that they get a call to send their daughter away to the South to serve Glinda.
So it's like Glinda and all of these other super impressive, beautiful women are all just hanging out in the library.
Yeah.
And the attendant comes in and announces the arrival of the Scarecrow, the most famous and popular person in all the Land of Oz.
Yeah. And again, we get a little biography moment, kind of, but we're told what we know. He's a munchkin. He's full of straw. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he has magic brains, which I'm just going to gloss over because we know he has fucking tacks and pins in his head. But either way.
That are rotting and rusting.
Are we reminded of something? Rusting. We're reminded of something that I personally forgot about. He lives part-time in the Emerald City and part-time in his corncob castle in the Winky Country. Totally forgot about the corncob castle.
I forgot about it, too.
But the rest of his life, he just spends traveling around Oz and making the acquaintance of the people. And he happens to be out traveling at this point, so he decided he'll drop in and visit with Glinda.
Yeah.
And so they start chatting. They sit down, they chat a while, and then Scarecrow is just like, so what's the news around? And Glinda just pulls out her big book of records.
Yeah.
They're literally flipping through the pages to gossip about what's going on.
Yeah, she's like, I literally have all the news from right now.
Yeah.
And we're in
everything
the library.
That's happening.
Oh, God.
I want that.
The library is open.
Yeah. And so she's like flipping around. She reads a couple pages. And then she's like, oh, you know, this is sort of crazy. There are three strangers from the outside world in Jinxland. And Scarecrow's like, where the fuck is Jinxland? And she's like, it's super close. It's on the other side of those mountains. Like, it's part of the Quadling country. It's just carved off because of, like, the ravine. And so that's interesting.
Yeah. Scarecrow now realizes, oh, that's, like, part of Oz. Mm-hmm. And Glinda's like, yeah, it technically is. Ozians don't really know about it, except for what's in this book. And so she continues to read. And they
and
read
her
about
face is just like getting darker and darker as she's
Glinda
reading.
Glinda is like,
what
I
the
have
fuck?
Got to look at this book more often.
Yeah, seriously.
Because she's like, okay, Jinxland is manned by King Cruel and all these wicked witches who keep the people in a state of perpetual horror.
Yeah, and she's like, the people are really good, but the witches are really bad. And also she notes that King Cruel has no right to be the king. Like, he's not supposed to be.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Scarecrow asks what I think is kind of a stupid question, which do the witches have magic? And I'm like
what would make them a witch otherwise?
Yeah, in
yeah,
this
but
context.
They shouldn't have magic.
It's illegal to.
Yeah.
You can still learn it, but it's illegal to.
Although they probably don't know it's illegal because they haven't had a stranger, which means they probably have not had mail.
They know that they're gonna get away with it, at least.
At the very
but
least.
But like
yeah.
Glinda is like, they know magic in its most evil form. This is cut off from the rest of Oz. And so she tells the Scarecrow about Blinky transforming Cap'n Bill into a grasshopper.
Yeah. She says, a respectable old sailor man. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm glad that's her description of Bill.
She knows about the plot against Princess Gloria to free her heart. And
freeze.
Glinda,
freeze.
What did I say?
Free.
Oh, the opposite.
Yeah, I was like, it's like almost.
I was like, oh, such good news.
Oh, we love Blinky.
We're hearing it right from Glinda. Her
she can love who she wants. But Glinda continues reading, and she learns about Trot and Button Bright being cast out of King Cruel's castle and passing the night with Pon the gardener's boy. And she's just like, oh my God, so much is happening in Jinxland. Glinda's like, okay, even if King Cruel and the Wicked Witch let Trot and Button Bright live, they are going to face a lot of trouble in Jinxland, so we need to help them. Like, however we can do that.
Okay.
So, here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to reference something I said earlier, which was that we are told in the biography, that Glinda the Good can only help people in Oz. Okay, so she can help people in Oz. She tells the Scarecrow that Jinxland is in Oz. And then she gets to the part where she says she wishes she could help them. And I'm like, Glinda, you can transport them to your castle right now. Because the wizard can do that.
And
so
also,
you can do that.
Her her magic is powerful to transport someone from anywhere. Because Ozma used to transport Dorothy from Kansas all the time.
She used the magic belt for that.
Okay, but if Ozma has something powerful enough to do that, Glinda certainly does. Because Glinda's the most powerful sorceress
in
Oz.
And even if not, hit up Ozma.
Those impassable mountains are not impassable to Glinda. At least they shouldn't be.
I agree that they shouldn't be. My mind is cast back to a time when the Gnome King was coming and Glinda wasn't called upon to stop him. So I'm wondering, but you know what? It doesn't matter, because in this book,
L. Frank Baum is rules. An inconsistent master.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, they are like, okay, well, we gotta help somehow. Glinda thinks for a moment, and she tells the Scarecrow that she will be sending him to Jinxland to protect Trot, Button Bright, and Cap'n Bill.
The Scarecrow's like, oh, Button Bright? I know, I fucking know Button Bright. We sent him home in a bubble that the wizard made.
Glinda's like, I know. I remember.
For some reason,
the book.
Yeah, she's like, I know everything. I was there and I watched it get written while it happened. Yeah.
I think it was under my suggestion, mine and Santa Claus's suggestion. Okay.
That's what I was going to say. Is it more important to mention the bubble part or the Santa Claus part? Like,
yeah, Santa was there.
Maybe the
Santa Claus. They see Santa all the
You're
time.
You're right.
Yeah.
But the bubbles are regular. Only been used once. Yeah. Oh my God, he's getting trashed in the Emerald City every summer.
It's his pastime.
That's true, yeah.
So Glinda gives the Scarecrow instructions on what to do, and she gives him some magical items. We don't know what they are, but he puts them in his pockets. And Glinda's like, okay, well, you don't have to sleep, so I guess you can start out right now.
And he's like, damn right.
Yeah.
So he just goes.
Yeah, he says goodbye and he sets out. And by the time the sun is rising, he has made it from Glinda's palace to the mountains that separate Jinxland from the rest of the Quadling country.
Yeah. Which isn't too terribly far, but he's there now.
I would say he's been walking for 5 hours at least.
Okay, I mean, that seems fair.
It was night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Glinda wasn't asleep yet.
No, that's true, actually, yeah. But, yeah, so he arrives, and he gets to the mountains, which are, as we've mentioned, super steep. It's, like, straight up. Like, think, like, cliff. Like, it is. You are not climbing that.
Free solo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He has a little powder bag on his waist, and he, like, gets the chalk over his hands, and he just starts climbing.
The Scarecrow pulls out a small rope from his pocket. And he throws one end of it up into the sky. Now, the rope, it's like a piece of string. But he launches it into the sky. And it just goes up, 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 hundreds of feet into the air. So it's just like extending like a fishing rod. And then it lassos itself around the highest pointy peak of the mountain. And he's like, pulls it to make sure it'll hold him.
It's a magic rope. Yeah. Glinda gave it to him. And that's all you need to know. Because he just climbs right up.
He climbs into Jinxland or climbs up the mountain.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Magic rope that can do anything. Yep. I got one of those.
I have no idea how far he climbed. Probably pretty far.
It said hundreds of feet.
Yeah. And remember that the Scarecrow has like no muscles or anything. And he walks awkwardly. So how long did it take him to climb? But then after that, once he gets to the top, he pulls the rope back up. And throws it over the other side so he can climb down the other side of the mountain. And I'm like, how long did all this take? Glinda gave him a magic piece of string. Could she not have just said, you're in Jinxland? Like, what?
I would have liked that.
Yeah, I would have liked it better.
I've seen Ozma teleport people multiple times.
He's just filling pages.
A little bit, but also he has to make it like reasonable. That Jinxland is actually cut off.
It has to be hard.
If Glinda just sends the Scarecrow, it's like, okay, yeah, so like, why didn't they do that before to stop the witches?
But you know what? If at the end of this book, the Scarecrow and those children and that one-legged man don't fucking climb back over that mountain, I'm going to be mad and you're going to hear about it.
Maybe this is the only book where they won't end up going to the Emerald City. Maybe he's going to send them back across.
I want
to
see Dorothy.
Well, do you want to see Dorothy or do you want to be happy about the way it ends?
I want to be happy about the way it ends.
Okay.
I also need to see Emerald City.
Yeah, I want
Trot
to see Emerald City.
That's true.
And I want to know if Toto's still talking or if he just...
And I
want to
know if the
that.
Orc is coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Just saying.
Oh, I forgot about the orc.
Orc? But... That's not what the orc says.
Yeah, well, that's what his fans say. That's like, if you're an orc head, that's what you say.
Okay. But the Scarecrow does descend down the rope on the other side of the mountain. He gets to the bottom and then he's like at the... he's in Jinxland at this point. He's officially in Jinxland.
He's above it.
But... It's the crevice. It's the big canyon.
Where Princess Gloria's dad is at the bottom of that gulf.
Yes.
He's dangling above that.
Yeah. So he's there. Oh. He's like, you know, what are you going to do? There's not a bridge.
What are you going to do, Wyatt?
Well, he starts searching the ground. And what he finds, what he's searching for, maybe, but what he finds is there's a little brown spider, and it's really fuzzy, and it's curled up like it's dead, kind of, I assume, because it says it's curled up. But what he does is he drops two little pills next to it. The spider unfurls immediately and eats those pills. And then the scarecrow says, spin. And the spider spins a web across the chasm and then back. So it's two of them.
Deliver us.
Yes, exactly. Well, wait, how?
I don't know. I just feel delivered.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's one like tightrope for the scarecrow to walk on with his feet, and then one for his hands to like balance him across the way. So he's got a little bridge.
Okay. Yeah, he's doing a little acrobat walk across this canyon.
Okay. Scarecrow's crafty.
But my big, my question is, was he expecting to find a little brown spider?
I feel like he was looking for a spider.
Like,
because the pills made,
what else could the pill do?
The pills made the spider web strong enough to carry him across.
Yes, and we're told that. So
what else were those pills made for?
I'm just like, he's got his little rope. He's got his little pills.
Yeah.
He's like on a little journey.
It just feels like
it's
the
cute.
Scarecrow of Oz can go down to the bottom of the crevice with his magic rope and then back up out of the crevice with his
magic rope. No, the crevice is bottomless, though.
So they say. Why sure. can't the magic rope
well, can't he
bridge?
Just throw his rope?
No, the rope can only go up.
why it's lying.
I'm
so
sorry, but
rules?
I'm giving you the reasons. Yeah, there's rules
to this.
So
they actually made rules
suddenly
for the
there's
magic
rules
rope.
To the magic. But anyway, yeah, he makes it across, so that doesn't matter at all. He makes it across. He's in Jinxland, in the Valley of Jinxland, and in the distance, he sees the spires of King Cruel's castle and sets off toward it.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm done.
Teleport the kids out of Jinxland. Teleport them out.
I'm just like, why did they do all that?
I don't know. It is just a fill pages, I think. I think he got to the end of the part where Glinda was telling him the problem. And then he wrote down how the scarecrow said, oh, teleport them out. And then he was like, I can't write that.
I think, like, I need a little I think more. He got carried away. He started writing the Pawn and Princess Gloria shit. And he was like, this is good. I'm on fire. This is the one Alfred.
Yeah, he's like, it's too soon to make him get teleported out.
Yeah, and then he was like, damn it. There's no scarecrow. And he's like, should I just go back and rewrite Captain Bill as a scarecrow? And he's like, no. send the scarecrow. I'll just make a chapter of it.
Yeah.
And
the scarecrow needed his little journey.
He did. It
Which
helped
I,
him.
I do like it. It just is like.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little like. Yeah. It's
like.
It's
okay.
Whatever. But that was and is the end of chapter 13. Glinda the Good and the Scarecrow of Oz. And Blake, what would you call that?
The long-awaited scarecrow.
Chapter 14. The Frozen Heart.
So.
Oh. That's our drink.
Cocktail.
I was
cocktail
like, alert. Why have I heard that before?
Cocktail alert.
I just got scared for a second because I was like, wait a minute. We left off on the last episode with them in Pawn's hut. And I just thought I'd blacked out for a minute.
Because that last chapter actually wasn't anything.
Yeah. Because yeah, it will not come back.
It was literally, remember Scarecrow and Glinda? Okay. Anyway, back to where we were, which is back at Pawn's hut. Pawn the Gardener Boy, Button Bright. And Trot are asleep in the hut. Button Bright wakes up first. He lets Pawn and Trot keep sleeping while he goes out to a nearby field to pick some blackberries. He can still see the house. He's picking berries off the bush. The berries are delicious. There are so many of them.
He's Button Bright?
Yeah. He's wandering around from bush to bush, just picking berries to his heart's desire, gobbling them up. Then a butterfly flutters by, and he chases it around for a laugh.
He's so cute.
Isn't he adorable?
Yeah.
He's been outside for about 54 minutes just wandering aimlessly. And when he finally decides to look around,
he realizes
he cannot see Pawn's house anywhere.
Oh my.
He does not know what direction Pawn's house lay in.
Don't know.
Yeah. And then he's like, well, I've been lost before, and I've always been found, so I'm not going to worry about it.
Literally says, well, I'm lost again.
Yeah, but it's fine. And then back at Pawn's house, Trot wakes up, finds the button Bright is missing, and she's like, I'm not going to worry about that. He always gets lost, and he always gets found.
Very similar.
I'm not
going to
stress. Okay. Which is good, because she can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
So
stay
just
in the
as well.
Same spot, I guess.
Yeah. So, well, so Trot and Pawn eat breakfast, and then they go outside. And on the outside, they can see the road. So remember when Trot and Button Bright were walking down like that road in the dark, they saw Pawn's hut like with a fire like across a field. So they can still see that road where they were the night before, and they see that Princess Gloria is being led down this road by two guards. Her wrists are bound behind her back.
No.
They're shoving her and like pulling her when she slows down, and King Cruel is walking behind them with his little cane, twisting it and hitting her. He's not really hitting her on the back.
Oh my God.
Twisting his cane
they
around.
They are not being gentle with her at all. Like, he may as well be hitting her with the cane. They are yanking her. They are shoving her. She is like sobbing and confused.
He needs to save his girl.
Yeah. Well, Pawn is like, okay, they've got to be going to the witch's hut. Like, we have to go follow them there and like stop them from hurting Gloria. And Trot's like, yeah, but if we get seen,
Trot's like, I don't know any of you.
Yeah. Like, I actually don't. That's really scary.
Yeah, she's like, all my friends are gone now.
Yeah, we're Captain Bill.
Pawn knows a shortcut through the trees to get to Blinky's house.
Because, of course, he knows where Blinky lives. Yeah. Like, duh. He's
so,
like, yeah.
They take the shortcut, and they actually get to the witch's house before the king and his soldiers do. And so they hide in a bush, and they are able to see the soldiers, Gloria, and King Cruel pass by.
And it's just Trot and Pawn. Okay.
Yeah.
Button Bright, God knows. Don't know.
Button Bright, dead.
Dead.
Captain Bill crushed under something.
A wagon wheel.
Stepped on him.
They stepped on him on their way. But literally, they get to the door of Blinky's house, or the like soldiers and King Cruel and Gloria get to the door of Blinky's house, and they are standing so close to where Pawn and Trot are hiding that Pawn could like reach out and grab Gloria if he wanted to.
Oh, but obviously,
that's not going to go well.
Yeah.
No.
So Blinky's house is an octagon. There is a door and window on all eight sides of the house.
Okay. I was confused by that. Obviously.
Because it's weird.
But I thought that maybe it meant there was a door or window on each side. So it was like one door on one side and then a window on each other side.
No, because of like the way that the rest of this chapter gets set up, I think that on each of the eight sides, there is a door and then like a window to the right of it. And then a door and then a window to the right of it. And then a door and then a window to the right of it. Because it seems like the way that this chapter goes, they are always near a door when they're near a window.
Okay, yeah. We'll find out.
So, Blinky's house is an octagon with a door and window on each of the eight sides. The guards bring Gloria to one of the doors, and Blinky opens it. And this witch, she's like literally worse than, I want to say Elphaba, but in The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, she is not Elphaba. She's just the Wicked Witch of the West. But like, I feel like this witch is worse than her because she is so delighted to work her like evil magic on like a pure, sweet little girl.
Yeah, she's just excited to fuck up something that's like so good.
She wants to destroy perfection.
Yeah,
and she is cackling with glee and rubbing her hands together just at the sight of Princess Gloria's fear and confusion.
What's her backstory?
We don't know yet.
No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. Hannah's trying to absolve her. Gregory Maguire, get on the case. you can convince me.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But Gloria is struggling and she's refusing to enter the house and she's fighting the guards. The guards yank her inside, and that's when King Cruel shoves her.
Yeah.
Like he pushes her
just
inside
chill.
So hard.
She's already there.
Pawn's brain like breaks.
He goes rapid.
He goes aggro and he runs at the door. But he's a weak little poor boy, and the guard just hits him, pushes him to the ground, and he's like, get the fuck out of here. And then they close the door in his face. Which honestly, thank God the king didn't see him, that Blinky didn't see him. Like,
that's something. Okay, I'm glad you said that, because that's something I'm confused about. But for the rest of this chapter, I'm like, they know he's there.
I'm just
it's a dumb guard.
If the guard doesn't know what's... Yeah, I think that's the thing, is the guard doesn't know the context.
He's
maybe
just like, hey,
he's like, oh, get out of here. I'm busy. Yeah, kid. Right. So, yeah. You know.
Yeah, if King Cruel saw him, he would have been hung at the top of that castle.
Yeah, and he wouldn't die, but he would be hung there forever.
He would have been an example. Yeah, and honestly, he would have hung for life because he will not die.
No, forever, not for life.
So Trot tries to console Pawn, and she's like, dude, like, even if you had gotten inside, there wouldn't have been anything you'd have been able to do. And Pawn's like, yeah, no, you're right. And Trot's like, it's really unfortunate that you're so in love with this Gloria. And Pawn's like, yeah, it is really unfortunate. Like, if I wasn't in love with her, none of this would be any of my business. But since I'm in love with her, like, it's my duty to defend her. Which also, if I saw a woman being drugged down the street by three men, I would probably make it my duty to do something, whether I was in love with her or not. But
yeah,
all that to say.
Well, Trot's like, well, you can't defend her. And he's like, yeah, no, you're right. But like, at least we can just go see what's happening. So
Trot's like, yeah, let's go look.
Yeah. So they go up to, I guess, one of the eight windows and they look in. And everybody's really busy inside, so they don't notice that there's, like, people peering in. But what they see is that Gloria, in the center of the room, is tied to a post.
Like, her hands are tied around it.
Yeah, she's, like, bound to it. She can't move. And the king is, like, giving Blinky all these jewels that Googly Goo gave him to pay with. So Googly Goo's not there, though. And so Cruel's like, okay, like, you're sure you can freeze this girl's heart and make her stop loving the gardener's boy? And Blinky's like, yeah, that's what you came here for. Obviously, I can do that.
Ew, and then what does he do?
Oh, well, then he says, okay, well, get to work. I don't think I'm going to like what's happening here, so I'm going to leave. And if you fail, I'll burn you at the stake.
Literally, he should have to sit there and watch everything that she's about to do.
Yeah, when he's like, I'm going to get a little uncomfortable with some of what you're going to do to her, so I'm going to leave. And he's, it's like
this,
that's
thing,
disgusting.
This thing that I'm paying you to do to her might gross me out a little bit, so I'm going to go, but send her home when she's done, okay? No,
yeah.
You should sit the fuck down and watch what you're making be done.
Yeah.
Disgusting. But yeah, also burn her at the stake. I hope she fails.
Of course, we hope she fails.
I hope she fails for a lot of reasons.
Hot take.
I also really want an Oz book to have a witch burned at the stakes. It's crazy. So King Cruel has his soldiers follow him, and they go out. They come out of the house so fast that they almost walk right into Pawn and Trot. But Pawn and Trot like, get out of there, and they hide. And King Cruel and his soldiers, they go away heartlessly, leaving Gloria to the mercies of old Blinky.
And so, inside, Blinky is cackling and laughing and jeering
over
like
Gloria. She's like intimidating her.
Yeah, she's just having fun, like making Gloria
scared. She wants to watch her be scared. She wants to watch her cry and blubber.
And Gloria's like almost passing out from it. She's just like, because
it's the scariest thing that's ever happened in her life. But she stands her ground and she stares the Wicked Witch in the face. And she's like she like just stares at her and she's focusing on looking like she hates her.
Yeah.
Like, that's all she can do.
And then some really...
And she has no idea Pawn's there.
No.
Oh,
no.
Oh, if only she knew. It's about to get fucking crazy.
Stop.
Though.
No, like, insane.
Blinky goes to a kettle that's dangling over the fire. She throws some magic compounds inside of it.
And after a second, there are three flashes of light. And in each flash... A new witch appears in the room. So now there's four witches. There's three witches plus Blinky.
What the fuck?
And they're all just screaming, cackling, and they're hideous, old, disgusting hags. Like, they're all crooked.
Poor Gloria.
Yeah, and Gloria's just watching this happen. Like, and
they're dancing around her.
Yeah, they...
This is giving the witch...
It is
the witch. Like, she's literally tied to a post like she's being burned at the stake, and these three witches are just, like, dancing around her going, like...
They're dancing in a circle, and Blinky whispers instructions to them in their ears, and each of them tosses something, some compound, into the kettle, and when they toss it in, they're transformed into these beautiful maidens. Like, the most beautiful things you've ever seen... Like, they're wearing, like, silk gowns, and they're dancing, and, like,
They look so beautiful that even like Trot and Pawn are looking at them like, whoa, like I am like enthralled. But the thing is, even though they're gorgeous everywhere else, they still have these like creepy old woman's eyes.
Yeah.
And so if you look at their eyes, you like see this evil, scary creature. But if they like look down, because they're just dancing, they're gyrating and shit. So when you can't see their eyes, it's like, oh my God. They're what are the beautiful dancing girls in the Harry Potter books?
Oh,
the Vila?
Vila.
Yeah.
They're like Vila. Cause like I feel like Pawn and Trot are both being like pulled in by the glamour of them, but then as soon as they see their like eyes and they see their faces, it like breaks the spell on them. And Trot is like, she is distracted for a minute, and then she's like, whoa, wait a second, like these are evil people doing evil things.
Yeah.
And I'm horrified by what I'm seeing. Blinky pulls a big brass bottle from a chest and she pours the contents of it into the kettle. It starts to like bubble vigorously and it's smoking. And the other three witches approach and they take turns stirring it and whispering magic charms to it.
Blinky then takes a wooden ladle and she takes a big scoop out of the cauldron, walks over to Gloria, and she says, "No more love, magic art. Now we'll freeze your mortal heart." And she splashes the liquid all over Gloria's chest.
Ah.
Isn't that crazy? Because you think she's going to like force feed it to her, but then she just throws it at her.
Yeah.
And Trot sees Gloria's chest become invisible and her beating heart is exposed, just beating in real time.
The heart?
It's a vivid red color, like normal heart. And then it slowly fades to gray and then to white.
No.
And there's frost on it and icicles coming down from it. And it just stops, basically.
After her heart freezes, you can't see through Gloria anymore. And like she kind of like faints for a minute. And then she like comes back to. And when her eyes open, she's just staring forward at the witches with like Gloria is not home.
Cold blank stare.
And these four witches are just like in her face and she's like, she's not scared, she's not upset, she's just like looking at them all. And I get the idea that she knows who she is, where she is, what just happened to her, but she's just giving all she really is capable of to the situation.
Yeah.
I don't get that she forgot anything.
It's not that she's not there. It's just she looks cold, like pissed, like just like not interested.
The witches.
Yes, unbothered.
The witches can tell that the magic worked and they just laugh in her fucking face. And then the three beautiful witches start to dance around the room again while Blinky unties Gloria.
Just slit all their throats.
In the square of the Emerald City.
That's what I'm going to need.
But the witches start dancing around while Blinky unties Gloria. And then the beautiful witches revert back to being like hideous old hags again. And Gloria, now she's untied. She just like looks around the room at all of the witches without like any reaction at all. And then just like looks at the door and walks out the door slowly. Just like she's just walking at a stride, doesn't care about fucking anything. And the witches just let her go.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what is the point of doing this?
Well, the thing is,
Pawn.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it's not even, I guess it is Pawn.
But Googleaboo, or whoever he is.
She can't love him either.
Well, that okay. So what they said was, we want her to not be able to love Pawn. And I think certainly the witches have accomplished that. I think that they may have had in their secret hearts the idea that it like wasn't going to work the out the way
claw.
That they might have hoped.
The
yeah.
monkey claw thing.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Well, and we'll see. I mean, who knows? But
it seems like she doesn't give a fuck about nothing.
Yeah, certainly not. But she, at this point, opens the door and just leaves. But in this same moment, Pawn and Trot are leaning on this window watching, and it's like an old timey window. So like it, like they lean on it too hard and it just, the whole thing falls in.
Oh my God.
And they don't fall in, but it crashes on the ground and these witches look up and start screaming because they know that they've been fucking watched this whole time. They start,
which makes me think they're not supposed to be doing magic. Like, which makes you think, like, they know they're not supposed to be doing magic.
Well, the king in the land employed them to do it, so like true. They wouldn't really care, and they actively terrorize the people of Jinx
they
land.
Seem like they care, though. I agree with what you're saying, but they do seem like they care, because then the witches take off after Pawn and Trot, and Pawn and Trot are like, ah! And they run away.
Yeah, they're running like deer through the woods. They are leaping over fences and shrubs and ditches. They are running. And
Trot
the witches...
Trot and Pawn are the witches?
Trot and Pawn run with all of their might to the point that, like, I think it hurts. Like,
yeah.
They are running so fast and so far and, like, jumping and scrambling and falling and climbing.
Oh, my gosh.
And the witches take off after them through the window.
Oh, my gosh.
But we've got three, like, crooked old hags who can hardly move. And then Blinky.
Yeah, it's like, do they have brooms or something?
Blinky,
well, they
who's
do.
Ancient. They do. But here's the thing.
Here's the weird
hags
thing.
Are like, you know what? We cannot chase them. And this is another reason that I'm like, they know they're not supposed to be doing this. Because the three witches that Blinky called, they get on their brooms and they get the fuck out of there. They're like, nope, we can't catch them. We're out. We're going.
Mm-hmm. That's weird.
Well,
I had
maybe those witches are from a different area than where Blinky's from.
I don't know.
Maybe they're from somewhere where they're not supposed to be. Witches.
Where it is more known.
There are many witches in Jinxland, though, and we know that.
Oh, that's true.
So I don't know why it would be different ones. The impression also that I had was more so that they were like, it's not worth it to try and go chase down those people, which kind of also gives me like,
if
they
wasn't
don't
even
care
our
about
spell,
being.
We just came to help.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Pretty
we
much.
We did our thing. We're out.
Yeah. And
we
also
don't need to have any more drama.
We interestingly we know that also Blinky is the like head of all the witches in Jinxland. Like she's the worst one, and she's in charge of them too. She's of like their coven. So like it is kind of weird that they're like, no, we're gonna leave because Winky is super pissed. She's like,
Blinky?
Yeah, Blinky. Good God. In
she
my
says,
notes.
If it's the last fucking thing I do, I'm going to get those kids.
Yeah, she's oh like, I'm going to find them. And
she
she's
can't
like,
run. She yeah. can't fly. She's walking.
And she's like, I know it will take me forever to get them, but I am going to find them and I'm going to get them. So she just walks on out.
Fucking
them.
Like Mike Myers or Jason. Or
it's giving
Voorhees,
it follows.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It does.
She is just like walking like an old lady.
Ew.
In the direction that they just ran off to.
I hate that.
How scary is that?
Yeah, I don't like that. Because then they can just go wherever, and then all of a sudden you're going to see her down the road still following you.
Yeah.
Get back here and sleep with my wife. You know, from the other guys, anyone?
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Thank God.
I haven't seen that movie in a while.
So Pawn and Trot run pretty far. And to the point where they're like, okay, we feel safe. We're going to like sit down this little like grove of trees. Like they're on a path and they're like, well, that was pretty fucking terrible. And Trot's like, you know, now that Princess Gloria's heart is frozen, she probably can't love you now. Like I'm assuming not. And Pawn's like, well, yeah, like her heart might be frozen. Like that's definitely true. But like maybe I can melt her heart with my love. So that's something.
Aww.
Yeah.
He but still has hope.
Trot is like, where do you think Gloria went? And Pawn's like, well, she probably went back to the castle. I mean, she started walking away before we did. But Trot tells Pawn that while they were running away from the witches, Trot looked over her shoulder to make sure that the witches weren't gaining on them. And she saw Gloria going north, like the whole ass other way from the castle.
So Pawn is like, okay, well, that's interesting. Let's go that direction and maybe we'll see her. So they go that way. They start to go north. And this is actually taking them like back toward the cabin because they must have run like south or something, I guess. So the witch isn't expecting them to go back toward the cabin. So she's just still
just
following
keeps
where she saw them go.
Yeah. She's heading that way. They're heading that way.
Yeah. So they're still gaining some time, but she is still moving through the world looking for them. And so Pawn and Trot eventually make it to a point where they're at a path that's like another path. It's about halfway down from half a mile from where Blinky's house is. And they see Gloria walking along the path toward them.
She's walking slow, like a zombie.
Yeah, looking regal.
Looking forward, not looking side to side. Pawn runs up to her with open arms, calling her sweet names. And, like, he tries to, like, embrace her. Gloria looks at him like he's disgusting. And she, like, pushes him off of her.
Yeah, she, like, waves him away. Yeah.
And he falls to his knees, sobbing, obviously. And Princess Gloria, totally unmoved by his distress, and she's like, I'm going to keep going this way. And she, like, keeps walking.
But she doesn't
walking.
Speak.
No, she doesn't speak. Her attitude is, I'm going to keep walking this way. She keeps walking, and as she passes him, like, crying on the ground, she, like, pulls her skirts away from him so that, like, no part of her will touch him.
Oh.
Like, he just grossed her.
And so
she's not going to warm that heart.
No, yeah. So his theory, so far at least, is
he's losing
not going
hope.
Well. Yeah. And so she walks a few more paces, and then she just kind of pauses and is, like, looking for where to go next. Trot is like, man, like, Gloria, your heart must be frozen. And Gloria just, like, nods at her and then, like, turns her back on her. And Trot's like, can't even like me, huh? Like, is that the case? And she's like, no. And this is interesting because Trot's, like, when she, the first words she says are no. And Trot is like, ugh, Gloria, your voice sounds like a refrigerator. Like, it's so cold. And I was like, refrigerator? Well,
they
1912.
Had refrigerators. This is like 1920, isn't it?
That's what you said the other day, but I think it's 1915.
15. Trot is like, you know what, man? That's too bad, because if you can't love anybody, how are you going to expect anybody to love you back?
Literally, that's what she said.
Yeah, it's insane. She, like, literally does. And Pawn is like, I love her. I'll always love her. And Trot, not helping. But she's like, yeah, but you're just a gardener's boy. You don't amount to much. And she's like, I could have loved the old Gloria, but this new Gloria sucks.
And Pawn's like, yeah, well, her heart is just frozen. And she's like, yeah, well, that's enough. But she's really not of use to anyone now because she can't love herself or anyone else.
Too bad. She sucks. That's sad. I need to find my friends.
Yeah, she's like, it's over now, man. And Pawn is like, okay,
damn,
well,
Trot.
Pawn's like, I'm going to come help you because, like, Gloria can't love me. So, like, there actually isn't anything to do right now. So, like, I will just help you find your friends. And as they're leaving, Pawn, like, gives Gloria one last look, like, to be like, oh, girl, like, come on, look at me. And she just, like, glares back at him. Yeah, she's like, no, like, I don't even fucking know who you are.
My heart hurts.
But after after Pawn and Trot walk away, Gloria, because remember, like, she started to walk away from them, and she kind of, like, hesitated, not knowing which way to go. And now they walk away. And she's like, and she's like, starts following them. But as she starts to follow them, someone just suddenly runs up behind her being like, stop, Gloria, stop. It's Googly Goo. And he's like, hey, I found you. Like, I'm taking you back to my mansion to marry me.
Gloria just looks at him. She tosses her head and just, like, keeps on walking. Yeah, like, she just is like, like, I'm not even doing that right now.
Yeah.
And Googly Goo follows her, and he's like, hey, like, haven't you lost your love for the gardener's boy? And she's like, yeah, my heart is frozen to all mortal love, and so I can't love Pawn, I can't love my uncle, the king, I can't love myself, and I certainly cannot love you. I will not be wedding anyone. I will not be marrying you. I will not be marrying anyone.
Yeah. Googly I will continue goo. To walk until yeah. my feet
I walk.
Are rubbed off.
Yeah. Googly Goo is like, Gloria, turn around. I demand that you marry me. I paid to have your heart frozen. I paid for your hand in marriage. If you do not come marry me, you are a robber. I have been robbed.
And he's
like, you didn't read the fine print. I don't think you read the fine
there
print.
There was no contract.
And also, he didn't pay her anything. He actually paid
men.
Everyone but, well, he paid a witch. But I guess he paid the king to pay to the witch.
Paid the man, paid the witch.
Yeah, but, like, he paid everyone but her and did not ask or tell her anything. Actually, when he did ask her, she said no, even before.
Get this.
So, yeah.
Googly Goo is, like, on the verge of tears, and Gloria, like, looks at him starting to cry, and she laughs.
Good.
Like, bitter. Because remember, she has, like, no personality anymore.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, dark, bitter, just cold laugh.
Ew.
And then she walks away. But Googly Goo grabs her arm, squeezes it, pulls her back, and tries to restrain her. And she punches him in the fucking face.
So hard.
She decks him. He goes rolling off the road into the ditch and is so fucked up that he just lays there for like an hour, like dazed and confused, covered in mud. And by the time he comes to, she's gone. Like, he's like,
that's
oh my
so
God.
Fucking
and I'm
funny.
Like, thank God. I mean, like, obviously Gloria couldn't have done that before because like of other reasons. But now I'm glad that she
she's
can
like
do
so
that.
Unbothered.
Yeah. And so he like wakes up. He's like, oh my God, fucking fuck Gloria. Fuck the king who stole from me. Fuck that witch. I need to go home and do dry cleaning. Like, all my special silk clothes are covered in mud water now because I've been in a ditch for an hour. And so he gets up and goes to wherever his fucking house is. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah.
He's threatening vengeance.
Yeah, he's like, I will be wreaking my
We have
vengeance.
An enemy.
It's crazy because we're halfway through the book and it feels like everything's starting to take root.
To me, I'm
like,
nothing
we
happened before
Jinxland.
We're in
a cave.
Yeah,
yeah, right?
I was with
like,
yeah.
literally...
Blinky, several other people.
Blinky now has a chip on her shoulder. Gloria kind of has a chip on her shoulder. Yeah. Googly Goo has a chip on his shoulder. Pawn has a chip on his shoulder. Trot has a chip on her shoulder. Button Bright lost. Cap'n Bill, chip on his little grasshopper
crushed.
Shoulder.
Like, crushed.
Everyone,
he's green goo somewhere.
Everyone is at their point now where something has to happen for them.
Yeah.
Which is... scary because it's too many characters.
Scarecrow.
I know. I'm already forgetting names, to be honest. Well, not forgetting, but getting confused with names.
Also, Orc.
I know. And who knows?
Maybe he found his way home.
Well, he said he'd be back in a week. So,
like, how much time has gone by?
It's been.
What, he dropped them in Jinxland, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's been like 2 days.
Well, yeah, because they walked that same day. They walked to the castle, stayed the night, and then the morning came. 1 day passed, and this is the next day. So it's been
what?
2.5 days.
Because
yeah.
all that's happened is they've met that woman and her like 100 kids, but that was like a stop for a snack, and then they kept walking. They found.
Oh yeah, it only has
found
been 2 days.
Pawn.
Yeah.
Then they got to the castle. Yeah. So they stayed
I guess
like
a lot
a
can
night.
Happen in 24 hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're not gonna see the orc for a fucking grip, dude.
God.
We gotta get them stuck in another cave.
Yeah.
So some time
everyone's
to
gonna.
Pass.
The whole kingdom's gonna be underground by yeah. the time he gets there.
Honestly, oh my God, I don't even know. I'm like, they should have just waited for him on the like on the edge of the desert.
Yeah.
But then I guess that like if that were the case, then Princess Gloria would have gone. I guess so. You think he'll ever be back?
Well, I just think like he says a week, but he doesn't know where Orkland is. He lost Orkland. How's he going to find them anywhere?
True. That is the end of chapter 14, The Frozen Heart. And Blake, what would you call that?
The Chilling Effects of Magic.
Chapter 15, Trot Meets the Scarecrow.
You knew he was coming.
I know, I literally said, I was like, Scarecrow!
You called him here.
So, Trot and Pawn wander for a long time searching for Cap'n Bill and Button Bright. They search the forests, fields, villages of Jinxland without any luck. And after a while, they take a rest beside a cornfield and have some lunch.
The lunch is apples. For some reason, they just have apples in their pockets. Yeah. But which is good lunch.
Fuji?
But no.
No.
These are Jinxland apples.
Red delicious.
Ew, mealy. But Pawn finishes his apple, and he just chucks his his core into the cornfield. And a voice comes out and is like, what do you mean hitting me in the eye with an apple core? And they're like, what the fuck? Like, what?
Suddenly the Scarecrow stands up, revealing himself from his hiding place in the cornfield, because he's been watching Trot and Pawn to see if they're worthy of being helped.
Oh.
Whatever that means. Glinda sent you,
yeah,
asshole.
I was like, why did you come all the way if they weren't
take
worthy?
Take your orders.
Yeah.
But Pawn apologizes, and he's like, oh my God, Scarecrow man, I didn't know that you were out there. And Trot's like, yeah, how did you end up in the middle of that cornfield? field.
Like, yeah, why are you
we're
there?
Here on the road. Which also, like, do not think that the adorability of Dorothy finding him in a cornfield and these two kids finding him in a cornfield has been lost on me, because I'm picturing that exact same crossroads from the movie.
Yeah. Like, I was thinking the same just, thing.
They are like sitting on the fence post of that crossroads from the movie.
That's what I'm picturing.
Yeah.
So rather than answering Trot's question, the Scarecrow stumbles toward them in like his awkward monster way. And he's like, "You're Pon, the gardener's boy. And you're Trot, the girl that was carried to Jinxland by a bird. And you lost your friends, Cap'n Bill and Button Bright."
And Trot's like, "Who are you? Who are you?
We gotta get out of here.
It's Blinky. It's Blinky. Get it."
Thank God. But Scarecrow's like, "Well, I actually know many things." And he's like, "My brain is from the Wizard of Oz. It's a double distilled super brain." And Trot is like, "Wait a minute. Wizard of Oz? Like, I know you. Like, you used to live in Oz." And he's like, "I still do."
He's like, "Yeah, yeah.
But I'm here."
That's
now.
Why I said I that actually, my brain was made from there.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, "I passed over the mountains from Quadling Country to see if I can come and help you." Which, by the way, I think it would be important for him to know we're still in Oz. This is still Oz.
Yeah.
But Pon's like, "Wait, you came to help? Help who? Me?"
I know, poor Pon. He's like, "Oh, my savior, finally. You come to help?" And he's like, "No, I'm here to help the strangers from the outside world."
But Pon gets a little bit offended, and he's like, "I'm looking after the strangers from the outside world. Like, hello? Like, I don't see how a scarecrow with painted on eyes can look after anything, actually."
Oh.
Yeah, no, you know how they get mean. They go low. They go low.
Really below the belt.
But Trot is like, this is actually a fairy man from a fairy land, and so he can actually probably do almost anything.
Pon is a fairy man from a fairy land.
I agree with that.
Yeah, but...
But he's not been able to help.
But he's not an inanimate object.
Yeah. But she says, "Please help me find Cap'n Bill. Like, please." She doesn't mention Button Bright, but Button Bright often gets found, so I guess they probably won't need his help.
Scarecrow's Scarecrow's like, "Don't worry, I'm going to try to help you find your friends. But just for the time being, who's that old woman that's running at us and shaking her
stop.
Stick?
Stop, 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 stop.
Yeah. Trot.
No.
Is that not so fucking scary?
Oh, my God.
My heart.
Is it frozen?
That's so scary.
It is. Trot and Pon turn around, and Blinky is hobbling at them with his stick. So they run. The Scarecrow is like, "Okay, this lady's fucking crazy." So he like kind of jumps in front of her, but she has fucking one eye, so she barely sees him. She knocks him over, and then she trips on him, and they roll together down the road a little bit.
Her and the Scarecrow?
Yeah, her and the Scarecrow. And then the Scarecrow's like, "Woo. Sorry about that." And she fucking clocks him, knocks his head off, jumps on top of him, and starts ripping the hay out of him until all that's left is clothing and a pile of straw.
Oh.
Is that not insane?
Oh, my God. So and the Scarecrow used his magic rope and his little spider
to be destroyed.
Yeah. To get torn to pieces.
His heart. And the crazy thing is, it just makes you think anyone could have done this at any time.
It's called, like, it's only called the Scarecrow of Oz because it's like an in memoriam kind of
situation.
Oh,
my God. Yeah. No. I mean, we are, is noted.
The flag is like half raised.
Yeah, at the end. The Oz flag, the four quadrants.
But Blinky, after turning him into a pile of laundry, takes off after the kids again.
Yeah, no, she's like, "I'm gonna get him."
Honestly, she didn't take the stuffing out of his head.
Yeah, because his head rolled away, like, and like went into like under his brain. Log or something. I know, thank God, because I think that might have killed him. I guess I don't know. His head's been. I don't know.
I don't think it would have. He was alive before the brain.
True.
But a couple minutes later, a little gray grasshopper with a wooden back leg is hopping along, and it lands right on the Scarecrow's face. And the Scarecrow's like, "Excuse me, you're on my nose."
The grasshopper is like, "Oh, fuck. You're alive?" Like,
he's like,
"Sorry.
I was coming here to rest."
Yeah, he's like, "I just was tired of being on the ground." I saw a burlap sack.
Cap'n Bill asks the grasshopper. Asks, "Oh my God, you're alive?" And the Scarecrow gets philosophical.
Oh, God.
And he's
no.
like, "Well, you know, I've never really known how to answer that. See, when my body's properly stuffed, I can be animated and move around, and I have great brains in my head so I can make my own decisions. But
right now.
I can't die. It can only be destroyed. Does that make me alive? Does that make one alive? What do you think?" And it's just like, Jesus Christ. Christ.
Yeah, that's and, a little much. But all right, he has
you're
just,
alive, buddy.
He's just gone through quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, I mean, I should be dead right now. Don't you?
It's like kind of crazy. I'm still here. Yeah.
Well, the grasshopper agrees because he's like, well, it doesn't really matter then because are you destroyed now? Like, are you good? Are you dead?
The Scarecrow says that he's all good. All he needs is a restuffing. And if Pon and Trot escape the witch and come back to him, then they'll be able to stuff him back up. And the grasshopper gets excited. And he's like, are Trot and Pon around here somewhere?
And the Scarecrow is about to answer. But he looks up and sees a beautiful face looking down at him. And he's like, oh, is Gloria. That Princess Gloria? Like, who...
Who's in love with the gardener's boy?
Yeah. And Princess Gloria had seen this scarecrow head talking to a grasshopper
that was on that, its face
that then responded. Yeah. And so she was like, what the fuck is that? Like, I don't love
she's
anything,
like, she's
but
like,
I am interested.
I have nothing but time.
I can be curious.
Yeah. And Gloria's like, no, I don't love the gardener's boy. I don't love anyone because the witch froze my heart.
The Scarecrow comments on how terrible that is. And then he's like, hey, darling, would you be willing to stuff me back up the straws over there?
And yeah. She's
you
like,
ugh,
me. Ugh, no.
Yeah. Oh, she literally, great. She like looks at like the strewn about straw. And then she looks at his old dirty clothes. And she's girl. Just like, she starts to like back away. Fortunately, she doesn't have to decline the request because Trot and Pon reappear.
Yeah, they just hid in a shrub like over the hill. And when the witch walked by them, like it was on her like not an eye side, so she couldn't see them anyway.
Yeah, she only has one.
But they
eye.
Were.
I didn't realize that was a thing.
Yeah, yep, yeah. She's blind on her whole one side. But Trot is freaked out because she sees the scarecrow and she's like, "Oh my god!" Like she starts stuffing him back in. Thank God that's just what she assumes she needs to do.
Pon is trying to express his love for Gloria without any luck, and so he just starts to help Trot stuff the scarecrow too. And neither Pon nor Trot see the grasshopper because with all the movement going on, he like hopped away so he wouldn't get crushed in this moment, but he's still nearby.
Yeah. And once the friends have put the scarecrow back together, he bows to them for thanks. And then at this point, the grasshopper leaps way up in the air and he calls down and he's like, Trot, it's me, Cap'n Bill. Please help me. The look of the witch is done. And Trot
the
is,
look of the witch is done.
It's going fast because he's in the air. But Trot is like not sure what's happening at first, but then she notices the grasshopper's tiny wooden leg and she just bursts into tears. She's like, oh my god, Cap'n Bill.
Swoops him up.
That's my best friend.
And one of her fairy tears falls onto the grasshopper. Just kidding. That doesn't happen.
Oh,
she is
like,
just sobbing. She's like,
oh, her best friend.
I mean, it's like, it's weird, right? Because it's like, you found him, but also, like,
but also
that's
he's
not him.
Yeah.
And, but, like, Cap'n Bill is like, Trot, stop crying. Like, it didn't hurt. She didn't hurt me. This is just inconvenient. I'm not in pain. It didn't hurt. We can figure this out. And the Scarecrow is like, yeah, like if we can't figure out how to do this, Glinda can figure out how to do this. Like, it's okay. Yeah. We have your friend.
And
Trot's trying to keep it together.
Yeah, she like pulls it together a little bit and she's like, I wish that I was big enough to beat the shit out of the witch and turn her into a toad. Yeah. She's like, I would beat her fucking ass.
Yeah, someone needs to beat her
if
up.
If I was big enough, I'd tear that bitch into two.
Yeah.
And does anyone have a theory? Because I have a theory.
Of like what's going to happen?
I just know a way that Trot could be big enough to kick that fucking witch's ass.
Berries.
No way. Trot's not going to become a giant.
They have the berries.
They do still have. And they have the only.
Oh, wait. No, they don't. They use them on the eagles. They use them on the eagles.
Oh, that's right. The or was it the eagles? Crows?
They weren't crows.
Seagulls?
They weren't birds.
They were the size of eagles.
They were as big as eagles.
Okay.
Okay, well, yeah, fuck it then.
Good idea.
Oh, that would have been pretty good.
It just
though.
Seemed like such like intentional language to be using. But I get it though, because Trot is like 2.5 years old, so she's really small. She like can hardly walk.
She's like, goo goo gaga.
If I was big enough, I'd give her a whoopa and a poop power.
She said,
bam, 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 bam.
Sorry.
So the Scarecrow is like, dude, it's gonna be okay. Like, Glinda can help us if we can't figure it out by ourselves. Like, all of these curses can be reversed.
Okay.
And Captain Bill's like, who's Glinda? Because that seems to be the most fucking important thing to talk about right now. And the chapter ends with the Scarecrow telling the gang all about Glinda and how she's the one who sent the Scarecrow to help them.
Yeah, and how he has goodness and or she has goodness and powers. And
the Scarecrow literally got ripped to shreds in the first like 2 seconds of combat.
She's going off.
So
yeah, it's
I
like
I just want to say that.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Glinda. Thanks for sending this thing.
Yeah.
But you know, she did give him instructions. Maybe when he was sitting in the corn observing them, seeing if they were deserving of being saved. Maybe that was on Glinda's orders, and he's supposed to determine and then do a secret symbol, and that's how they will, that's how they'll know that they are going to be transported.
I would believe it, honestly.
Just my theory. But that is the end of chapter 15, Trot Meets the Scarecrow, and Blake, what would you meet that?
I would meet that a confrontation at the cornfield.
Thank you for listening to Oz Hour. Please join us next time as we continue with Chapter 16, Pawn Summons the King to Surrender. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, and follow us on our Instagram and TikTok at Oz Hour Podcast for the latest on everything Oz. Oz Hour, created and hosted by Blake Stone and Wyatt Swangham, co-hosted by Hannah Aguirre, audio production by Charlie Johnson, theme music written and performed by Rudy Clovis, cover art by Valentin Lucas.